Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, thank you for your word. Before I start, I want to read Psalms 91. You need to read it every day and believe it and speak it over your family and your loved ones and your city and your nation. It's based on the new man confessions. Psalms 91:1, he that dwells in union in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say or confess of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Surely he has delivered me from the snare of the fowler and from all diseases. I am covered with his feathers, and under his wings I safely trust. His truth and faithfulness are my sword and shield. I am not afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the disease that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that destroys at noonday. Listen, 1,000 might fall at my side or 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I am in union with the Most High, he's my refuge, my habitation. There can no evil get close to me, neither shall any sickness come near my home. For he has given his angels charge over me to keep me and mine in all our ways. His angels will lift me up in their hands so that I don't stumble or fall. I have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I have set my love upon him. Therefore, he says, he will deliver me and set me on high, seat me together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I need his help, he's in union with me and will deliver me from all evil and share his glory with me. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his full salvation. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to talk about fear. How many of you know in 2 Timothy, I'm going to use my, just play like we're sitting around and we're just talking. 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So what is fear? It's a demon.
Yeah.
Say, it's a demon.
It's a demon.
A spirit of fear. God didn't give me the spirit of fear. Well, who did?
The devil.
Yes. Okay. But of power, love, and a sound mind, free of all fear. That's the new mind you have of Christ. The passion, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. How do you like that? That's what God has given to you. And we want to see here, 1 John 4:17, and I'm going to start 1 John. Let me just go to 1 John. And I'm going to go to chapter 4, and I want to start in verse 17. So, Rod, if you want to pull that up. All right. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as Christ is, so are we now in this world.
Amen.
We are the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
His hands, his feet. We're here to do what he did. Okay. And it says here, let's read that again. I want you to hear it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of the judgment, because as he is, so are we now in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect, mature love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, the passion says, by living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because as Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Amen?
Amen.
Well, normally I say belly, belly. Let's have a drink.
Amen. Thank you,
Father. Okay. Now we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see. No. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay. We're going to go to verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't allow these fear thoughts to come through your mind, because God has given these weapons to us. And in Ephesians chapter 6, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're doing this for a reason. Okay, because we are in a battle, but it's a battle that's already been won. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm telling you, the devil's real, but God is more real. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many of you know this is not a flesh and blood? This is an invisible devil we're fighting against. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. That's the demonic realm. Spirits of wickedness in high places. So I want you to see what your real enemy is. Okay. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And it says in Peter, when you see all these things happening that's going around, be sure that you're found of Him in peace without spot or blemish. That's what you need. Stay in your peace. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Put it on. And then what? What's our job? Stand. Stand. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, I got news for you. He may not devour you.
Yes.
Say, he may not devour
he
me.
May not devour
God didn't give me the spirit of fear.
That's right.
But he gave me the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
That's what God gave us. So we're on a winning side. Okay. Now, we laid that foundation. What was Christ's mission statement? If Christ had a mission statement, what would it be? Well, I want to tell you. Preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Now, Isaiah 42 in the Passion says this. Verse 1, take a good look at my servant. I love him dearly, for he's my chosen one. I've taken hold of him in my strength, and I have clothed him with my spirit. He will cause justice to spring forth from nations. He will be gentle and will not quarrel with others in public. He will not exalt his voice, never crush a broken heart, nor disregard weak and vulnerable. He will make sure justice comes to those who are wrong, and his inner being will not be faint or discouraged, nor will a light grow dim before he establishes justice on the earth. Even the distant lands beyond the sea will hunger for his instruction. Here are the words of the true Yahweh, the one who created starry heavens, stretched them out. He is the one who formed the earth and filled it with life. He gives breath to every person and spirit to everyone. I, Yahweh, have commissioned you, Jesus, in righteousness to succeed. I will take your hand in love and watch over you. I give you as a covenant for the people, a walking light to the nations.
Amen.
Here it is.
Amen.
Your mission is to open blind eyes, to set prisoners free from their dark dwellings, to open prison doors to those who are held in darkness. I'm Yahweh. That's my name. I will not give my glory to another image, golden image, nor my renown to idols. Don't you see what I have prophesied has come to pass? And now I'm foretelling it to the future. I will declare it before it sprouts. A new song for a new day. Mission statement. To preach the gospel of the kingdom. What did Jesus' first thing he said? Repent. Matthew 14:4-17. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Not any gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. Healing all manner of sickness and what? Disease. In Mark chapter 1 verse 14 it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay. Matthew 12, 20. Let's see. Let me pull up Matthew 12, 22, Rod. I want to start in 12, 22. Matthew 12. If I can get it. My computer's slower than I am. It changed gears. That's interesting. Pulled you up. I can see you. 12:22. All right. And there was brought to him, Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Okay. But when the Pharisees heard that, he says, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebul, the prince of devils, the prince of devils. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and home divided against itself will not stand. And he says, he goes on to say, this is a little different for me. It's jumping on me. Okay. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom will your children cast them out? Let them be your judge. But if I cast out devils, verse 28, by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you.
Yes.
Now catch that. If I, by the Holy Ghost, cast out devils, the kingdom has come to you. Okay. All right, then he talks about else. How can one enter the strong man's house? At first he binds the strong man, and then he's able to cast out the devils. Amen? Take it and spoil his house. In Mark chapter 3, I want you to look, Mark. I'm going to go over a lot of scriptures because I want you to see the foundation we have around this place is the Word of God. If the Word says it, we believe it. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Do I want to start there? Yeah, I do. 14. Says he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Okay. And he gave them power and authority to heal all sickness and to cast out devils. I want you to understand sickness and casting out devils go hand in hand.
Yes.
You can't separate them. Okay. And that's he sent them out. And then we're going to go to verse 14. Let me see where we want to go. Okay. He called the disciples. And what did he say to them? He gave them power and authority to do what? Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Freely says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely have received and go freely give what you receive. In Luke chapter 10, it says he anointed another 70. He appointed another 70 also, verse 1, and sent them forth to preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Freely received and freely give. And it says the disciples came back about verse 17 and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to your name, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in the fact that you're a son of God. So we see that. That's what he went to do. And you see in Luke 14 and Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel. What? Let's look in verse 14. John, I want to look at it in Luke 4:18. I want you to see it. Luke 4:18. Thank you, Lord. All right. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, this is my mission, is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has preached deliverance to the captive, recovered the sight to the blind, and it set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed his book and he said, this day has the scripture been fulfilled in your ears. That's why he came, to do that. You know, in 1 John 3:8, says, he that sinneth is of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. Why are we here? To destroy the works of the devil. That's why we're here. You remember he said, as the Father has sent me, John 17, he said this, I send you. John 21, he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Go. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, he said. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe everything I've told you. What did he tell them? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Why? He's the one that's created this mess. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord went with him, confirming his word with signs following. That's why we're here. Amen. Give me an amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen.
Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus went into the synagogue, and there was a man with an unclean spirit there. And the spirit spoke out of the man, and he says, we know who you are. You are the Son of the living God. I think I'll open my Bible there. I may want to hang out there for just a minute. Okay. All right, Mark. Okay. All right. We're going to go to chapter 1. Yeah, this is it. Verse 21, they went to Capernaum, and straightway the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, the spirit cried out of the man's voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him and said, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit tore him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among them, saying, what is this new doctrine? For with authority he commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. All right. Never had, in history of the world, had anybody cast out a spirit up to this time.
That's right.
Not one in the Old Testament. Now, David did play his instrument in front of Saul, and the evil spirits would depart because they didn't like worship.
But they still came back.
Yeah, but they did come back. But this was the first time, and it says immediately his fame of him spread out through the whole nation. But I want you to see, I want to go on down here, and forthwith, they entered into the house of Simon, Andrew, James, and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they told him. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left. It was a spirit. And ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun set, they brought unto him all that was diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Now the word possessed is not a good word in the King James. A Christian cannot be possessed. He was demonized.
Yeah.
There's areas of your life where the spirits come in and magnify your weaknesses. Okay. And all the city were gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and he cast out many devils and suffered them not to speak, but they knew him. And in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Simon came and followed him, and when they had found him, they said, "All men are seeking you." And he said, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there the gospel of the kingdom also, and that's why I came forth." And he preached in their synagogues. A synagogue was just a place where people met, just like this. You'd call this a synagogue. There were hundreds of them. He said, "I must preach in all the synagogues and cast out devils." What did he come to do? Preach the gospel of the kingdom and to cast out devils. Yeah. Why?
Because they needed it.
So I don't know where we lost the sight of what the purpose was, but that was his purpose, to preach the gospel and what? To cast out demons. And I look, there came a leper beseeching him, kneeling down and saying, "If you will, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I believe I will." And he reached down and took the leper by the hand and raised him up, and he was cleansed. Now, lepers supposed to stay in shouting distance, unclean, unclean. But here the leper bowed at his feet. Jesus reached down and took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he said, "I will, be thou clean." Now, if the Holy Ghost is anointing you to lay hands on the sick, don't worry about getting the virus. Doesn't say one place. Jesus laid hands on, it says at midnight they were brought to him many, and he laid his hands on every one of them. I'm going to preach on this next week. But isn't it amazing how that something that God gave us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, that the enemy's using to transport disease all over the world. Always counterfeits.
That's right.
I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. John G. Lake, I think Alan shared a word on it last week. He worked around all kinds of contagious diseases in the hospital every day. And he was around diphtheria and all this stuff. And the doctor says, "Why aren't you getting sick?" He said, "Put the disease in my hand and put it under the microscope." They put it under the microscope and the disease was dead.
Amen.
He said, "I preached for 20 years, and he says, "I went home every night and I never took a disease to my children or my wife. The devil couldn't make me take it."
Amen.
There is something in your attitude that you had to have. I refuse to have this thing.
Yes.
When this thought
yes.
comes into your mind
yes.
about this thing and the fear hits you, say, "Not on my watch."
Hallelujah. Amen.
Not yes. on my watch.
Yes.
Get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus never sent anyone out before the resurrection or after the resurrection that he didn't command to cast out devils. He never sent anyone out without telling them to cast out demons. Now, sickness. You look, Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do whatsoever I've commanded you." Right?
Yes.
All right. Now, Acts 10:38 says what? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Yes.
Where does oppression and demonic stuff come from? The devil.
Yes.
I hadn't heard the devil mentioned once on TV, I don't think. There's only one evangelist mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 8. About verse 5, it says, "Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto the Samaritans. And the people gave heed to the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, because unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed, and many that were sick and lame got healed. And there was great joy in that city."
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what an evangelist does. It's good just to go preach and get people saved, but there's more to getting saved than just having your sins forgiven. Isaiah 53, you need to spend some time there to see. Not only did he die for your spirit, he died for your body and your soul. We might cover more of that later. One third of all Jesus' ministry that he spent was casting out devils. Rick Joyner's book, The Power of Evil. Listen to this. The church is not here just to defend against the attacks of the devil and establish our little safe havens. We are here on earth to attack and tear down his strongholds, releasing as many souls from his grip as possible. And we are not supposed to just be defensive. We are here to take back grounds that were surrendered to the devil by our ancestors, who succumbed to his schemes, and to follow up on the victory of our ancestors who took ground before us. We have been given divinely powerful weapons for this purpose. Next to knowing and worshiping God, we should be occupied with assaulting the devil and setting the captives free, tearing down his evil religions and philosophies through which he keeps mankind in darkness. Of course the Lord came to save us from our sin. The scripture also says, 1 John 3:18, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Okay. Why are we here on earth? To destroy the works of the devil. That's why we're here. We are his body through which he can continue his works. We are his hands, his feet. He gave it all authority to us to do what he did, to set the captives free. Every soul set free from bondage of the devil was released into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Give me an amen. Amen. Because of the love of freedom, the love of freedom must be our spiritual genetic code. The earth may presently lie in the power of the evil one, and we may therefore be living behind enemy lines, but we will prevail. We will be victorious in the end. Every soul that is set free in a victory that conquers more territory for the kingdom of God. Even so, we must look beyond just setting individuals free, setting nations free from the bondage of this present evil world.
Thank you.
Jesus said we are to occupy till he comes.
Yes.
We're to occupy. We're freedom fighters. You know, I remember in Iraq, when the soldiers was going into Iraq, the people wasn't very friendly to them, because at that time they really didn't know who was going to win. That's kind of what the church has done. You leave the devil alone, he'll leave you alone. That's the biggest lie that ever come from the pit of hell. He's not going to leave you alone, so why leave him alone? But you remember when that big statue came down?
Yes, I do.
All right, what did they do? Bind the strong man and spoil his house. Those Iraqis went to all of his houses and took everything he owned. Stripped them, plundered them, took everything. Now that's what we got to do with the devil. We've put up with this stuff too long.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus spoiled principalities and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Good news is more than just getting your sins. Salvation means healing, deliverance. The word sozo in the Greek, saved, means healings, deliverance. It means health, everything. It's the whole report. Who has believed our report of Isaiah 53? Jesus came to take back. You know, the garden, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth Devotion. Of course, we preached this. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus restored everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden. You think what Jesus did in the garden? One thing that's left out is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Jesus died for you to have a new mind, will, and emotion. In the garden, Jesus said, now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And it says in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it pleased God to crush Jesus, to make his soul an offering for sin. God will see the travail of his soul in the Garden of Gethsemane and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus took in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took back what was lost in the Garden of Eden. You have a new soul. You have a new mind. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. New, what's that? It means all things. You have a new mind. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the God of all peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he who called you, who has also done it. Amen. He has provided it all for you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine. You have a new soul. It's paid for. You just need to receive it. When you got saved, you got the whole package. You didn't get just forgiveness of sins. He paid for it all for you to have. Need to step up and take what he's given you. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Now, this spirit is a spirit of fear.
Yes.
Now, Jana's already prayed, but I'm gonna pray too. We're gonna that word expel, that word cast out means to expel. Do this. So when we command that thing to come out of you, you breathe it out. You breathe it out. How's all these viruses being spread? Get that demon out. We're going to take authority over it. So in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus to everyone that's watching this today. Jesus died to set the captives free. He paid so you could be free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, Satan, we take authority over all the works of darkness. And we command you, spirit of fear of this virus, in the name of Jesus, to leave in Jesus' name. Now, breathe it out. Breathe it out, all fear. God didn't give it to you, so where did you get it? Get rid of that fear. We command the spirit of fear to go now in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear to go. Go now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of fear, you leave this people in Jesus' name. You go. We got no place in you. You go in Jesus' name. Now, you spirit of stress. We come against the spirit of stress for what's going on. I take authority over the spirit of stress and I command you, spirit, breathe it out. Breathe out that spirit of stress. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Stress and pressure, go now in Jesus' name. All pressure, go now in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Worry. Bind that spirit of worry. We command that spirit of worry to go now in Jesus' name. You go. Spirit of worry, breathe it out. Expel it. Now I want to tell you, you don't have to put up with any of these devils. He gave you power and authority over all devils to cast them out. Amen? Now Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Receive his peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart to which you are called and be ye holy. Let the peace rule in your heart. Don't let anything get you out of his peace. Be sure that you're found in peace. Enjoy the rest and the peace he paid for. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord has made his face to shine upon you and has been gracious to you. And the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace and rest from every dumb devil in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.